Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In June 2011 in St. Paul, Minnesota, an African-American woman and her friends were taunted by a group of white supremacists they encountered on the street. A white woman assaulted a black woman, cutting her face, followed by a violent attack by a man. The situation escalated when the woman attacked pulled out a scissors to defend herself. The man ended up dead, the woman charged with murder. Her name is Cece McDonald, and she's a transgendered black woman whose story has captured the interest of activists around the world. Free Cece is a new documentary that tells her story. It's about the violence, injustice, and incarceration faced by transgendered people of color. It's directed by Jacqueline, or Jack, Garris, an award-winning TV director and filmmaker. Free Cece is her first documentary feature film, and it's having its Canadian premiere at Toronto's Inside Out Film Festival on Sunday, May 28th. And I'm very pleased to have Jack Garris here by telephone from New York to tell us more about Free Cece. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
And thanks so much for being there. So Cece was attacked by a group of white supremacists, and she fought back. What happened next?
Yes. Well, the attack happened, and it was outside of a bar, and it was became a very public display where a lot of people were getting involved outside, witnesses and onlookers. Because it was, it was a melee. I mean, people were having a brawl in the street. And as soon as Cece was trying to leave, and that was when the stabbing occurred of one of her attackers, Dean Smith, had come after her. And so there was some discrepancy with the county prosecutor believing that she was actually pursued by Dean. And basically, Cece says, maintains that she was defending, herself after being pursued again and trying to leave this site, and took out some scissors to ward him off. And he ended up getting stabbed because she, just wanted to get him off of her. She was already wounded. And she, was very, she was bleeding profusely and felt that if Dean had knocked her to the ground, that was going to be the end of her. So this was a fight that, Cece was, it's important for people to understand that she was fighting for her life. So I don't want to, I want to make that point, and that's what the film does.
But
what ended up happening is as she, left the scene, she and her friends were calling the police themselves, actually. They wanted to get help. And as soon as the police arrived and found her in a nearby and adjacent parking lot where they had fled to get away from this group of people, the police approached her with guns drawn and said, "Where is the weapon? Drop your weapon." And she didn't have the scissors. She just, was trying to get some help at that point. And medical attention, and they put her in the back of a police car for a few hours, and then finally brought her to a hospital where she was medically attended to.
And she was
right to the interrogation room. So there was she didn't have any break. There was no reflection. She went right into the interrogation room after the hospital.
So her story spread after she was arrested and jailed. Mm-hmm. Her story spread quickly around the world. When did you first hear about this?
Well, yeah. I mean, since Cece was arrested, she basically, there were a group of committed grassroots trans activists. Some people of color and some white, and they in Minneapolis, and they really rallied. She developed a support committee for her, and she worked with them, from a jail cell, and basically, helped them to develop different committees. Like, they had a media committee, and they had the legal trial committee, because this was going to be going to trial. That's what they were pushing for. But the county prosecutor had, given a couple of deals that were not really, deals that CC wanted to take. One plea bargain was a 7-year stretch in prison. And so basically CC just, she didn't want to face, when she didn't take that first 7-year plea bargain, they basically threw another murder charge at her. And this was murder with intent. And what ended up happening is she wasn't charged with murder. The prosecutor, the county prosecutor, Michael Freeman, after learning about Cece's case, and, he contends the media pressure didn't have anything to do with it, because it was all in the headlines of LGBT news. It was something that the Cece support committee made sure was in the papers for community. Folks like myself, I was someone who looked at all the LGBT news stories, because I was a showrunner for a show which is no longer on the air in the States. It's called, it was called In the Life, and it was on public television, and it ran in Canada as well.
Okay, various people took up her cause, and one in particular, Laverne Cox, is an actor who plays a black trans inmate on the TV show Orange is the New Black, and she appears in the film as well. So can you describe Laverne's meeting with Cece?
Yeah, well, I mean, I met with Laverne for over a year, making a treatment for a segment that was going to be on In the Life. And because Laverne wanted to talk directly to Cece, she wanted to go to the prison in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and hear from Cece, her story, her account of what happened. I thought it was going to be powerful, and it was even more powerful when these two women finally met each other and got to speak to each other.
Yes, it
and
was.
Laverne and I were just so taken with Cece's light and her personality and her ability to not be affected by the prison walls that surrounded her. So it was an intense project. And after having that first meeting, I was fueled even more to make this and determined to make this film happen.
So one of the activists you speak to is takes quite a radical view and refers to prison, not prison reform, but prison abolition. Can you explain what they mean?
Well, that is actually also the stance that Cece McDonald herself takes.
Okay.
She has become, radicalized. We talk about it in the film with Eric Stanley. She meets up with Eric Stanley, who's a filmmaker and activist and a teacher. And Eric basically asks her, when did you become a prison abolitionist? And it was when she was incarcerated. In St. Cloud, she's actually probably in the jail in Minneapolis, because she was housed, continuously.
Now, was she put in a prison for women or for men?
It was a male prison that she went to. It would have been another fight to try, the fight in court to try to get her to go to a women's prison. So she had to go to the male prison. That's just how it is when you're transgender.
And
you get assigned to a male prison.
It's starting in Canada. They're assigning trans women to female prisons. Is that starting to happen in the U.S. or?
Well, I mean, it really is based on one's genitalia, and they basically that's unfortunate, but that is how the prison system works. And, there's also a movement, for trans inclusive prison, but, the thing about prison abolition you have to understand is that, these people that are prison abolitionists believe that they need to eradicate the prison industrial complex, which is a structure, designed to profit off of the people that are currently incarcerated, which is over 2.5 million in the U.S.
2.5 million people are incarcerated?
Yes.
And are a significant number of these transgendered inmates?
Well, transgender inmates and prisoners are, of course, very high, as well as just people of color.
That's right. So Cece has sort of a double negative delivered to her.
Yes, and that was why it was so important to tell this story. Because, you know, when I was first making this film, I would talk about it amongst, you know, other white people. I mean, I myself am white and I'm cisgender, you know, and people would say, well, why didn't she just have a lawyer that got her out, you know? And it wasn't that simple. Cece was not allowed to just, you know, be released. they interrogated her immediately, and based on that interrogation, you know, they also took their time to tell her that the person that she had fought against had actually died, you know, in a way that, you know, was questionable given the fact that she was under such an intense interrogation after being injured. So that was, you know, it was like there were so many layers to the unfair treatment that Cece received. And, you know, when you speak to black and brown people, this is nothing new to them. This is a story that is all too familiar and often repeated within communities of color.
So in the U.S. right now, usually when you hear about self-defense, it's usually stand my ground, rifle, what is it called? The NRA-led lobbying saying people have the right to defend themselves with a gun. This is a very different case. She didn't have a weapon, she's a woman of color and transgender.
Yeah, this is not a stand your ground case. That law does not exist in Minneapolis.
So it's in no way tied to that.
Right.
But it is,
you know, I mean, I don't want to gloss over the fact that she was denied a self-defense claim. And that is also something that we learned making this film, that people of color are often denied, especially trans women of color are denied self-defense claims.
So the victims are painted as the criminals.
It is. That was one of the points that we make. We have Miss Major in the film, who's a trans elder, and she talks about how it is so often that it is because trans women of color are defending themselves that someone gets hurt and they are the only ones that go to jail.
Finally, now Cece has been released and she's traveling around spreading the word. What are her main points in her action?
Well, Cece is now a prison abolitionist, and she basically speaks against how we can try to dismantle, you know, right here, right now, today, the prison industrial complex, which includes local and state law enforcement. One of the things that Cece's, you know, main points is how people will often call law enforcement for something that law enforcement doesn't need to be called for, and it creates a situation. Also, I've seen law enforcement is now starting to tell, you know, make these statements that, you know, people will have racist fears or fears that are based in racial prejudice, and, you know, often call, the police on, you know, some black kids who are basically just on the street, you know, presenting themselves, just existing. And Cece, you know, Cece's one of her main points is that communities need to take care of each other, particularly communities of color, which are surveilled by the police and law enforcement.
This is a very important issue, and thanks so much for talking with me about it.
Sure.
Jack Garris' new film, Free Cece, is having its Canadian premiere on Sunday, May 28th at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Go to insideout.ca for tickets. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.